Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, quick text. It says, come on, guys, don't go after Jim Nance. He was my sweet mate at the University of Houston and helped my parents move to Kingwood back in 1980, and then says, ha, 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 ha. So I think Texter knows the good-natured ribbing that we're doing right here, I think. But
we're not even ribbing Jim Nance. We just we went over the evidence, and we decided that, no, we're not gonna use him as a fulcrum to vault ourselves to viral videos
by
attacking him.
Yeah. As a vessel to bring us to higher relevancy, yes.
Yeah, we're not going to attack Jim Nance. Nope. You can rest easy, nope. Former sweet mate of Jim Nance.
Yep, we thought about it, and then we decided not to. Nick Caserio on Texans All Access last night. Nick, what are your thoughts? Well, actually, I believe the interview runs tonight on Texans All Access, but you can find it on YouTube on Tuesday nights. What are your thoughts coming out of the bye week?
Yeah, it was a good opportunity last week for the team to just really get away, honestly, for our situation. Less was more, so we didn't practice. We came in on Monday, met, went through some things, and it was really best for everybody to just kind of take a step away, kind of take inventory. Coaches had an opportunity to go through some of the film. You do a little bit of the self-scout. What are some of the things that we talked about this even going into last week? What are some of the things that we've done well? What can we improve upon? What are some things that we might be able to implement on the margins? So team's in a good spot, came in the other day, trying to treat a normal Tuesday as a normal off day, and then get back ready to go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a normal week, if you will. And then once we get through the Miami game, then the timing will be a little bit different. So all we can do is control what's in front of us, which is Miami, understanding on the back end of that, we'll have to make some modifications and adjustments for the next few games.
Yeah.
Yeah, the taking the entire week off, part of that's just in the CBA now. Players have to have like a broad stretch of actual downtime, as opposed to, you know, some teams used to handle the bye week almost like, yeah, we're going to practice every day and everything. So I do think that, man, especially with the bye being as late as it was, yeah. And almost you could sense in the press conferences over the last couple weeks, it wasn't the same energy. You know, I thought that every time that D'Amico got up, it looked like he was tired or just not the same. I shouldn't say tired, but maybe just not his normal self. Some of that might have been because of the...
He seemed unhappy. You know what I mean?
He seemed unhappy. Yeah. Go get the R&R, come back fresh, and be ready to attack this 11-day stretch. So I'm cool with that. I guess the biggest part is when he mentioned self-scout. The coaches and front office people are going to be back before the players and working on stuff. I wonder if they did figure some things out with the self-scout. Of like, all right, what has been working offensively? What hasn't? What can we build on? You know, what do we need to lean more into? Hopefully we see something yielded from whatever those discussions
were. Have you kind of gone through that, you know, now that we've had a couple weeks to kind of just lay low on the Texans here? Like, is it, like, if you could pick one thing to change offensively with this team and what they're doing, have you thought about that?
I would think the run game, like, have some kind of a credible rushing attack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough one because I think that they have figured some things out with scheme.
Yeah.
You know, they when it's worked for them, they'll do some of the gap scheme stuff where you got Cade Stover coming across the formation. Yeah. Offensive linemen can kind of position themselves and get in front of guys. I still really have concerns. I have concerns about when they face genuinely physical defensive lines because I don't think that they have the offensive linemen that are really capable of physically handling people. We saw that versus the Titans and the Lions. They just got manhandled. And I think that Laremy Tunsil has given good effort in the run game. I think he really has. It's just there's times where you see, okay, he's more of a finesse pass-blocking offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's going up against lighter defensive ends or less physical defensive ends, I think he does a good job. It's when he's got to bring a hard hat to work that it's a mismatch sometimes.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's to be done about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the answers for their lack of a run game have to come in just somehow being better at executing screens than they have been. And then CJ continuing to show improvement at throwing the outlet. You know, getting it out to Joe Mixon in the flat when nobody else is available and get it out there quickly when he's got some space to run. So some of it, even like CJ's head, it's a hard environment in which to operate because the lack of pass protection. But I think that he's shown improvement over the course of the season, and it's got to be that. I don't think that all of a sudden magically they're going to go up against a team like the Lions again and just road grade dudes off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, we'll get to the biggest X factors and unknowns going into this 3-game gauntlet they've got coming up in just a second. But as long as we're talking about the offense, here was Nick Caserio on Texans All Access. What do you want to see from the offense over the remainder of the season?
Just playing consistent football, trying to play good, clean football from start to finish. So we've done it in spurts. We've done it at different quarters. We've done it in different parts of the half. The areas that are going to have an impact on winning moving forward are going to be the turnover margin, how that goes, production on third down, and then how you perform in a red area. So when you look across the league, typically the teams that perform the best in those areas are the ones that are, you know, going to put themselves in a pretty good position. Let's say from our perspective, those are probably three tangible areas. If we can just make some incremental improvements, it's going to help the overall football team, and then just maintain a certain level of performance in the kicking game. So that's a big thing. And each week is going to present its own challenges. So the challenge in front of us here is Miami and what they provide. We'll talk about them here in a minute. But overall, as a team, is just playing good, consistent football from start to finish, and then we'll see where we are at the end of the game.
So he mentioned three things there. Turnover margin, you know, which, okay, that's largely C.J. Stroud, don't throw interceptions. The fumbling hasn't really been an issue for this team. Third down production, that's where it gets interesting. And if you feel like the offense has taken a step back over the course of the season, that's borne out in the stats of just – they're 21st in third down conversion percentage right now. A lot of that's because they faced a lot of third and longs. But over the last 3 weeks, they are 29th in third down conversion, 28th in third down conversion. They've been really bad on third down over the course of the last 3 weeks. So that's a tough one because I feel like there's a whole lot of other stuff wrapped up into that. You bundle in the inability to run on first and second down, to run consistently on first and second down, that makes that third down conversion a lot harder. So that's the one that I'm most uneasy about. Red area, again, that comes back to a lot of the rushing game and can you impose your will down in the red area? Those are really uncomfortable for me right now. Turnover margin I feel good about as long as the defense keeps being opportunistic.
Yeah, and they
CJ's got to clean up some of these interceptions that he's had that are non-CJ Stroud-like interceptions. Either mental errors or miscommunications.
They're worse in all these areas from a year ago. You know, they weren't great in red zone. They were better in third down conversion than they were in red zone. They were middle of the pack in red zone last year. They were a good third down offense last year. A lot of that had to do with who was playing quarterback and how he was playing. And then turnover margin. They led the league, I think, in turnover margin last year. And they've been great at turning teams over. The problem is, you know, CJ's been a little more careless with the football this year.
Yeah.
So they've gone backwards in all those areas. And, yeah, that would be nice if they came out of the bye week firing on all cylinders in those three areas. As far as X factors and unknowns going into this 3-game gauntlet, let's start with this. Here is Nick Caserio on the return of Christian Harris.
Anytime you're away from football, there's always going to be an adjustment period. So, to your point, Kenyon has had an opportunity. He really went through training camp. He played 8-9 games, whatever it was, missed a period of time. We'll see where he is physically. Christian's just missed a lot of football. They're no one's fault of, you know, anybody's fault. It's just the reality of where we are. So what we try to do when we prepare the athlete is monitor as best we can their loads, what they're going through. Are they physically ready for what a normal practice would look like? The game is a separate stimulus. So if, in fact, he is ready to play and does end up playing a game, that'll be another step. So nobody's going to get everything back all at once. You have to take proper steps along the way. Christian's had a good attitude despite what he's had to go through. We'll go through the week of practice. We'll evaluate it, and then we'll try to make the decision that makes the most sense for the team come Sunday.
Okay. The Christian Harris thing, Seth, would be a huge topic, even if Aziz Alshire had not been suspended, because of the mystery surrounding the injury, how Christian Harris looked at the end. You could argue he was their best defensive player in the postseason last year in those two games. He was great in the team, won great in the Ravens game. Christian Harris was really good. He had the pick six against the Browns in the previous game off of Joe Flacco. So that would be a big topic, Harris coming back, even if Aziz Alshire were suspended. The suspension of Aziz Alshire now makes, to me, I don't know defensively that there's a bigger topic for the Texans going into this Dolphins game than what exactly is Christian Harris. Like, what exactly or what do we expect here? You know, like, is he even going to play? You know, we don't know yet. He's been activated for practice, but he and Kenyon Green have not been added back to the 53-man roster even yet.
I'm guessing that Christian Harris plays this week, and it's just a matter of how many snaps he gets. I don't know how much they can figure that out over the course of the practice week. Okay, what's our plan for Christian Harris? So I'm guessing they're just going to go in kind of with a vague snap count, and depending on game situation, maybe they like they did with Nico Collins a few weeks ago when he returned. Nico got about 50% of his normal snaps in that game. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's what it is with Christian Harris. The three games in 11 days, it's a little tricky because you've got normal recovery between the first and second game, you know? So yes. I don't like that's the big part.
One day less, you know?
Yeah, like do you treat it? Yeah, that's right, because they play on Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
But it's relatively normal. It's not the extreme part of it. Right. But you got to keep that in mind, I think, that you got to almost figure, well, we want to be sure he gets enough time to recover and then make a decision again. So I don't think, just like I said, I don't think Dana Brown has a real – it's impossible for Dana Brown right now to have a really clear-cut plan for
how – Dana Brown. You just said Dana Brown. Who do you mean?
I'm talking about Dana Brown, the Astros GM.
Oh, okay. We were talking about the Texans.
Yeah, right. Okay. So like I was saying with Dana Brown, he doesn't have a clear-cut plan.
I've got stuff going on in the studio here. I'm sorry.
So what's going on with Dana? Like, he doesn't have a clear-cut plan for exactly how you proceed with all these players in the offseason because he's waiting for more information to come in with offers and whatnot. Likewise, with Caserio, he can't really have a clear-cut plan for how they're going to proceed with Christian Harris because they got to see how he responds to all this.
Yeah.
So that's the... we'd love to have a clear answer from Nick, but the uncomfortable reality is they don't know themselves, I don't think.
Sorry. They're coming to fix the vents in here and whatnot, and I've had to tell them.
Oh, you're afraid of burning to death in a fiery inferno.
I've had to tell them how long do you have till you can come in the studio. I've been
There's a potential electrical fire brewing.
I didn't mean to disrespect Dana Brown, yes. the other X factors... Do you think there's a change at left guard coming out of it? He mentions Kenyon Green in that audio right there. Do you think there's any change with the offensive line here coming out?
I think there's a good chance. If it were me, if I were the GM.
Yes.
Now, hey, look, I'm just the guy that didn't expect that much out of Damian Pierce as a running back this year. I'm just some schmuck, I guess. That was me being the GM during the preseason. But I think that they what was the question?
Do you expect a change at left guard coming out?
I think they should rotate those guys. Yeah. I think it should be an open tryout for left guard right now. I think there's a chance that Kenyon Green could look a lot better with Jarrett Patterson at center making the calls. And you got to open up that opportunity. Now, it's weird. I know like DJ Bieniemy believes that Kenyon Green is just – he's your best option if you want to genuinely improve the run game.
Yeah.
I can't say that I feel any more optimistic about either of those guys at left guard right now. Like, neither one of them give me the warm fuzzies. So I think it's way more of an open competition. That's how I'd have to look at it.
Does Jalen Petrie come swooping in with a cape this weekend? There's an X factor for you.
I give it a 43% chance that Jalen Petrie
aggressive.
Plays this weekend.
That's aggressive.
They would have put him on IR if they didn't think it was a possibility.
Yeah.
And look, it's a partially torn pec. Once you get the swelling down and all that, what are you going to – you go into games like that. I think Jalen Petrie is probably wired this way. You're like, well, look, if I got to have surgery on it in the offseason anyway, and I don't know that he has to or not, but let's say that's the situation. If I have to have surgery on it in the offseason anyway, it doesn't matter whether it's partially torn or fully torn. I'm just going to go out there. If it tears, it tears. That's how I'm going to operate. Boy, I think Jalen Petrie's wired that way.
They could use him, man. They really need.
Sometimes with an injury, you're kind of like, yeah, gosh, yeah, if I could just tear this thing completely, it would be less painful.
It'd be clarity, too, man. Like, all right, now I'm out. Now I don't have to sit on the fence, man.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about
it. I'm out. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to play, but at least now I know what the future looks like. We're still getting a lot of suggestions as to who you and I should go after, you know, call at, like that Columbus host Riccardotti did.
Yeah.
He called Kirk Herbstreit a D-bag, and he's gotten a lot of notoriety out of that. Someone says Lopez and his OG sauce.
During the break, you read that text, and you said, well, no, we need a big name, which I thought was a curious thing to say.
Okay. You said you were going to say that, not say that I said it during the break.
That was back before you sabotaged my Dana Brown analogy.
I didn't sabotage it. These ventilation people did out here. Whoever blew up the AC last night sabotaged it.
Is Lopez a big enough name to go after?
I said we need
not
a
to
bigger.
Get national,
I said
not
we
to
need
get something viral.
I'll
right,
own it.
Yeah.
I said we need a bigger name than John Lopez. Like, because we're talking about John Lopez is going to come in here and say he's a bigger name than Jim Nance and Charles Barkley and Shaq. He might.
He might.
He might not. He might.
No, right. To go viral nationally, we'd have to go after somebody bigger than John Lopez. Or Seth Payne or anybody else.
Or anybody else at the station. Yes. Yeah. I just said we need a bigger name. That's all.
The aggregators aren't going to pick up, you know, like...
nuance.
Sean Pendergast sabotaged Seth Payne's analogy right. or anything like that.
Right. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. These are the bodies that Netflix is throwing at your Christmas Day game.
Woo!
It is a...
This stocking is stuffed.
Dude, it's an army. These are the White Walkers coming in from north of the wall. How do you feel about this? If you're a Texan fan who's going to stick around at home and watch the game on Netflix, how do you feel about this crew? We will go through that coming up next.